The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Mr. Outdoors is here, Greg Roberts. We got a lot to talk about, fishing, also what not to be doing over at Diamond Lake, according to another outdoor person. We'll just kind of, yikes. Interesting story here. Greg Roberts over at rogueweather.com. So, Greg, welcome back. And first off, where do we go? What do we do this weekend? And is it back to summer here for the next few weeks? Or is this just a kind of a short-lived little blip because we're heading into, we're already in meteorological fall, but we're not technically in fall till what, Sunday, I guess?
Yeah, the seasonal version of it, or astronomical fall, hits on Sunday, and that's also the autumnal equinox, when we're supposedly balanced at 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night.
Right.
You know, that varies, actually, depending on your position in northern hemisphere, but it, regardless, it is the start of seasonal fall. And no matter what date you want to use for the start of fall, whether you go meteorological in September 1st, as I do, or whether you're one of those, I'm going to stick to the calendar regardless, it's okay. Do it the way you want to do it, but the end result's going to be the same. We're still early in the season, and especially early in the season, we will get periods of what seems to be far more like summer than fall, and that's absolutely what we've already got unfolding and looks like will be with us for probably the next 10 to, I'm going to say, 12 days for sure. You know, we're going to be seeing some pretty warm temps, especially for the time of the year. Next week, probably, say, borderline pushing where I would put hot in the forecast for Medford and Grants Pass. Because when you're getting into the 90s now at this time of the year, that's hot. You know, July and August, that's an average day, but not now, not late September. So, you know, we've got that kind of thing coming. We also have very dry conditions. Had a meeting with the folks at Mount Ashland yesterday and found out they're really proceeding now doing the main work on the new lift that they're going to be installing, the Lithia lift behind the lodge that runs up the same hill that the Sonnet chair does. But they're trying to pour a lot of concrete and footings for that lift. And at least I was able to give them the happy news that they're going to have pretty much near ideal concrete pouring conditions for the next 2 weeks. So hopefully we'll keep that project right on schedule. And when the season opens, we will have the first new chairlift on Mount Ashland in, oh man, many, many years for sure. I forget exactly when Sonnet and Comer were done, but yeah, it's also going to significantly increase the amount of novice and beginner level terrain up there, which is something they can get all of that that they can. And the nice part was they were able to do this within the existing footprint of the ski area, so no need to have anything go up that it could be appealed, because when they're doing it in the existing footprint, well, there's nothing anybody can say about it because the footprint's already approved.
Okay, very good. Glad to know that. And as far as fishing goes, coastal still looking pretty good like it was last weekend or not?
No, because with the conditions we've got this coming weekend, and they're going to last through this weekend and realistically next weekend as well. So if you want to make your plans for going fishing, you're going to have two great weekends in a row for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this time of the year, trout, the dinner bell's ringing, and they're in active feed mode. Temperatures have come down in the water, so the trout also know and recognize the signs, so they're trying to fatten up. And I've always said, I mean, for as long as we've been doing this, fall is a tremendous time to be out and be trout fishing, and now we've got perfect conditions for it. So definitely head out. Go fishing. Trout fishing, I just don't see anywhere that isn't reporting good conditions right now. So get out and enjoy it. Get out and enjoy these, I mean, ideal weather conditions, because they really, truly are. I mean, you can't ask for much better. And if fishing's not your thing, whatever your thing is in the outdoors, you're definitely not going to get weather having any kind of impact to it.
Even Scotty McCreary tomorrow night at the Expo, no prob, right?
Oh, especially Scotty McCreary tomorrow night. And then, of course, a week from tomorrow, I'm paying close attention to what those forecasts in Bend look like, because we're going up to see Dwight Yoakam in Bend at the Les Schwab Amphitheater.
Oh.
Because that was Terry's birthday present. She is a huge Dwight fan. I am a huge Dwight fan, and neither one of us had ever seen him live. The added benefit for me, the Mavericks are the opening bill for Dwight.
What a perfect opening act for Dwight.
Exactly.
That's a 1-2 punch. Both those bands are incredible. Dwight Yoakam, that is such a guilty pleasure of mine. I love everything he does. And it appeals to my hillbilly side, you know, of having grown up.
And he's true to that Bakersfield sound that Buck Owens first launched on the world. I mean, the phrasing in the songs, the barking Telecaster, you know what I'm talking about. It just comes through, and Dwight is just so true to it. It's awesome to listen to. And, of course, showmanship, very few out there better than Dwight at it.
Yep, there we go. Yep. All right. Well, you're going to have a great time. I wish I'd go with you. I saw him at Brit, I want to say 2-3 years ago, I think it's when he was there, and it was just a fabulous show. Mr. X and I went there, just had a great night of that Bakersfield sound. There was just nothing better, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
It just
makes me feel great. I was so crushed that we missed him when he was here for that, but I lucked out. And then I have a really good friend of mine up in Bend, the Les Schwab Amphitheater. It's not exactly like Brit, but they do a thing like Brit that you can become, you know, a member, and I can't remember exactly how they refer to it. So concerts, when they're going to get scheduled for the amphitheater, the people in that group get first access to them. And my buddy up there is in that group, and I told him, okay, here's what's going on, here's my budget, and he got us tickets before they ever hit general presale.
All right, good for you. Hey, Mr. Outdoors, I wanted to you wanted to talk a bit about this morning about regulations up at Diamond Lake, things that have changed there. And I know that there was another outdoors guy out on the coast that you and he have been getting into a dust up with. And it sounds like, I think that you're on the right side of this one. I don't want to get into the battle that's going on behind the scenes about this one. But tell us about the brown trout regulations and maybe what's going wrong. And when you go to Diamond, how you're really supposed to, because, you know, I don't understand the fishing regulations. It's not
right.
My thing. I, you know, it's just not something I'm into, but people who are need to understand what the rules are when you head over there and fish.
So I want to explain a little backstory about two reasons why this is so personal to me and why it's gotten so heated with this other guy. Number one, Diamond Lake has been pivotal to our family since I've been around, period. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, one of my first memories of my life was taking me to Diamond Lake and going fishing when I was 4 years old. When the famous Bore bomber crashed into the lake, I got to put my own eyeballs on the bomber in the lake, because when Grandpa found out, he's like, we got to go see this. So we saw the Bore bomber sitting in the lake before they were able to pull it out. If you don't know, and I can't remember, I want to say this was early 70s, back in the days when they were dropping borate on fires, there was a bomber working a fire in the Diamond Lake area. They had an in-flight emergency, and the crew ditched the plane into Diamond Lake. Mm-hmm. Crew was fine. Plane was basically intact. They hauled it up out of the water, but so much water damage, they wound up cutting it up on shore and trucking it out of there, and, you know, it went to the metal scrapyard. Our family has vacationed there for years. Our family members have had cabins at Diamond Lake for years. When the Tui chub infestation happened, it was devastating. When they had to poison that lake to get rid of the Tui chubs, I was deeply fearful of how long it could take Diamond to come back. I wasn't sure if that lake would ever be what I remembered it being in my lifetime again. Nobody had any guarantees. Instead, what we saw was a stunning comeback of the lake. It rebounded within 4 years of the poison treatment. It was almost like the poison treatment never happened. But humans will be humans, and morons to this day are still using tui chubs and other live bait in that lake, totally against regulation.
You gotta be kidding me.
You will get cited.
Oh,
you
boy.
Will get a major penalty. You may have your fishing privileges revoked if OSP catches you in the act up there. So I'm very protective about Diamond Lake. Very.
So let's then talk to the latest, though.
Himself.
Okay, okay, so we got this other outdoor guy on the coast. I'm not going to go into who he is. Doesn't matter, okay?
No.
All right?
And I'm not going to be specific either, but believe me, people will figure it out, so we'll let them figure it out. When you have a guy who calls himself an expert, who appears on radio stations and other parts of the state doing pretty much what I do, go up to Diamond Lake and flaunt the regulations by showing his buddy holding a brown trout around 4 to 5 pounds out of the water by the gill plate,
mm-hmm.
That absolutely, I was stunned.
Okay, now why is that against the rules, showing
because
that done?
It leads to fish mortality.
Oh.
There are guidelines. There are guidelines. Those browns and the tigers in Diamond Lake, the tigers in Fish Lake, they are there for reasons. They are there to be the safeguard against stupid humans using live bait, because the browns and the tigers will definitely predate on tui chubs. We have not seen the same issues arise in Fish and in Diamond since they put the tigers into Fish. And definitely since both the browns and the tigers arrived in Diamond Lake, even though they have done nettings and shocks and found there's still tui chubs in Diamond Lake, mm-hmm. There have also been goldfish found in Diamond Lake.
Okay.
But they're not overrunning the lake the way they used to because of the presence of the browns and the tigers and Diamond. And so the regulations state if you catch them, release them immediately unharmed, preferably not taking them out of the water at all.
I didn't know that. Okay. All right.
And tigers in Diamond, and we do the same procedure.
Now, is this only specific to Diamond Lake? Is it different in other lakes, perhaps?
It's the same at Fish Lake regarding the tigers.
Okay.
You are not supposed to take them out of the water.
So these are predator fish of sorts that prey on the trash fish that you don't want,
yep.
In these lakes, right?
Now, there was an issue that arose at Diamond Lake because they kept putting these 3 to 4 inch fingerlings in the lake in the fall, as they had always done, and all of a sudden we had an entire age class of fish disappear, and everybody goes, gee, I wonder why that is. Well, everybody forgot about the browns and the tigers being in the lake, and yes, they're consuming tui chub, but when those baby 3 to 4 inch rainbows hit the lake, they ate them too, and they essentially wiped out an entire age class. When that was figured out, ODF&W went to releasing sublegals into Diamond Lake, meaning 6-7 inch fish. Those fish had much better escapement, and we got through that issue.
Boy, it's quite a balancing act that goes on there, trying to keep the
yep.
fish species in good balance there, right? Isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
A lot going on. So what are you legally able to take?
He portrayed himself an expert.
Uh-huh.
Flaunting it that way. First, I was shocked, and I was like, you need to take that down. I did that reaching out to the guy, believing he was a friend.
Uh-huh.
His response to it was to blast me and say, I always thought this guy was a loser, and I only got along with him because I had to, and then put me on blast. And it's some of the worst behavior that Facebook says they don't allow, but I've had dozens of people tell me, hey, I saw what was happening there. I reported the page, and Facebook that will not take it down. So
uh-huh.
He also is not removing the photo, even though he knows he's in the wrong. It's unethical. OSP has had a talk with him.
So is it unethical or illegal? There is a difference.
Unethical. It would be illegal, and he would be cited if they could prove that fish died because of the way they handled it.
Okay. All
that
right.
That becomes a much tougher issue. But ODF&W and OSP both immediately declared it unethical. Their words, not mine. As soon as I heard it from them, I immediately adopted it.
Okay. All right. That seems like a reasonable thing. Well, hopefully he'll see the error of his ways. I don't know. It's
Sadly, we're nearly a week into this now, and he is totally defiant and unrepentant.
Oh, okay. Greg Roberts with me once again, Outdoor Report this morning. Grab a call here. I think someone has a question for you here, Greg. I wasn't even aware of these regulations because, like I said, I'm not a fisherman, but that's all right. Anyway, hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, this is Wild 7.
Hey, Steve.
Bill, back in, I think, 1960, I caught a very large German brown out of Lobola Lake. It was a male. I think it was 28 inches long, weighed 16 pounds. It had teeth that were a quarter of an inch long, and when we cleaned it, it had 11-inch trout inside of it. I think they need to let people take browns over a certain size because they will eat anything. And, you know, I think they're making a mistake. Also, the browns, they hatch. They can hatch their own in that river that comes in, which is just like Silent Creek and Short Creek.
Okay.
So the browns.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, Steve, let's let Greg respond to that now.
Yeah, Steve, you're not correct on your final point. The browns being released into Diamond are sterilized males. What you did say about them eating, as they get bigger, eating legal-sized rainbows, that would be very true. And especially in Lamola, which my family actually helped create. My grandfather's brother was the project manager. My grandfather drove the bulldozer that literally created the access road to that lake that you take right now. Using anything that looks like a rainbow in the 10 to 12-inch range in Lamola absolutely is going to get you giant browns, especially if you put krill scent on them now. But in Diamond Lake, they safeguarded the breeding issue because it's only sterile males going in. There is discussion at some point that they will allow retention of browns and tigers at Diamond and tigers and fish, but we're not at that point yet, and ODF&W wants to be extremely cautious because they know the browns and tigers and Diamond and also the tigers and fish are doing exactly what they were intended to do.
All right. Hey, Steve, I appreciate the call there. I'm getting a lot of feedback on your phone line. I don't know what's new with that, so I had to put you on hold during that. But, all right, so to keep in mind, just remember, when you're at Diamond Lake, tiger trout, brown trout, they're catch and release. It's like, and you don't do anything, don't take them out of the water, right?
The fishing page at rogueweather.com has information there that absolutely clarifies this. There's an excellent video done by Wyoming Fish and Game. I give you a link to it. You can watch a 45-second video and see exactly how you're supposed to do this. I've also provided a link regarding the full regulations up at Diamond Lake and what ODF&W is saying about how you handle it. Again, this is not something I've ever done in my life. I've never gone hunting. I've never gone fishing without knowing exactly what the regulations are and what they call for. Because if you get hauled into court on a game violation, there isn't a judge anywhere that's going to allow you to say, I didn't know, and have that be a defense. It won't be. But especially if you're going to call yourself an expert.
Yeah, if you're going to call yourself an expert, you better know. You better know those regulations then. Hey, Greg, before you take
the other thing, Bill, quickly. What? Every time I go fishing, I act like I've got all the seats at Autzen Stadium around me, and every single set of eyes is carefully watching what I do. I am aware at all times of who I am, the example I'm setting, and my moral code would never allow me to go anywhere, do anything without absolutely knowing what the regulations are and how to handle situations. I just wouldn't do it.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to shift gears on you here for the final minute or so here. The taking of that bull elk, those, you know, that they're looking for the so-called hunters around that.
Yeah.
What's driving that? Are there people that just don't know what seasons are?
There's people that just don't care. And the motivation behind them to do it varies. There are definitely people out there that are thrill killers. There are definitely people out there that their frustration over not being able to legally take drives them to do things. There are other people who intended to harvest maybe part of the animal, and then something or someone came along that spooked them, and off they went without doing what they had intended to do. I mean, there's a whole variety of reasons. And for all of us who love deer, elk, whatever, there are other people that they have to deal with some of the ramifications of what they do, especially elk with fences and competing with cattle for food sources. And there are malicious kills because people just hate that they compete with cattle who've been brought in by humans, and the elk and deer are here and have always been here, and they're just doing what they do, and it angers people. And you get what I call heat of the moment anger kills happen.
Well, this doesn't look like a heat of the moment anger kill, because they had that on that private property, the cameras showing these, I think it's two young men, right? Or younger men in there. And yeah. I don't think they're necessarily poor people. They look like they had some pretty nice compound bows there that they were going out there.
Absolutely. Guys weren't poor. Of course, the other way around it is you can go to Walmart and outfit yourself in camo gear for not a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then you go and steal the other stuff, or you trade contraband, drugs, whatever, for the other stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of ways, unfortunately, people can acquire anything they want to acquire totally in the black market.
All right. Well, fair enough. And appreciate the take on it. Take the weekend off, all right? Enjoy it. We'll catch you next Friday, all right? You be well.
Yep, sounds good, Bill.
All right. Greg Roberts, RogueWeather.com. Like him, follow him, and keep up on the outdoors and the weather news and everything else. It's 736 at KMED. Outdoor Report sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. And that's on Airway Drive in Medford. 737, we have open phones for the rest of this particular hour. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to give away some Scotty McCreary tickets in a few minutes, too. We'll have fun with that.
I'm Bill Payne, sending a shout-out to Stephen Weber.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
739, and enjoy Central yesterday. There's Kamala, or Kamala. I'm always screwing that up. It's Kamala, right? Kamala? Not Kamala. Kamala. Anyway. Kamala on the border.
What would be specific steps to strengthening the border?
So it's a wonderful and important question. My background was as a prosecutor, and I was also the elected attorney general for two terms of a border state. So this is not a theoretical issue for me. This is something I've actually worked on. Okay. I have prosecuted transnational criminal organizations for the trafficking of guns, drugs, and human beings. I take very seriously the importance of having a secure border and ensuring the safety of the American people.
Okay, I just have to stop there because I don't know if I could take another 2.5 minutes, which is what the whole clip is, but I end up throwing up on the air, and I really don't feel like doing that. But you know what I'm getting at, right, Francine? Yeah, you get it.
Exactly what you're getting at.
And the thing is, she goes on to talk about, telling Donald Trump, he didn't protect you because he didn't want that border bill that they had out there. But of course, the border bill, all you had to do was look at it. It had nothing to do with really stopping people from coming in. It was about hiring more Border Patrol people to help escort them in. It's essentially what they were talking about. It was not about keeping people out. It's never about keeping people out. But yet she cares about us. She cares about you too, Francine. She really does.
I know. She actually called the other night and said, listen, don't worry. I'll take care of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that clip you played earlier, the one where she was sounding so sincere.
I got to play a little bit of this, okay?
That's the one I'm calling
it. All right. Okay, people got to hear it if they haven't heard it, okay?
We love our country.
Yeah, okay, no, people have to hear this. Hold on, okay?
Go ahead.
All right, because now, your eyes are going to glaze over. You know that, right?
Well, yes. My eyes have been glazed over for months. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. More glazing.
We love our country. I love our country. I know we all do. That's why everybody's here right now. We love our country. We take pride in the privilege of being American. And this is a moment where we can and must come together as Americans, understanding we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let's come together with the character that we are so proud of about who we are, which is we are an optimistic people. Uh-huh. We are an optimistic people. Americans, by character, are people who have dreams and ambitions and aspirations. We believe in what is possible.
Okay, I can't take any more, all right?
Yeah,
I can't, but you know, the thing being, though, is that dreams and aspirations, except her voters have dreams and aspirations of killing Donald Trump, or at least a good third of them. You know,
here's where I wanted to take this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's an ad that you run off quite often on the show, and I don't even remember what the ad is for. But there's this one particular woman. She sounds like a young woman. And she's got this very nice voice, and she is really good at having that sincere and heartfelt tone when she speaks. Right.
That's right.
And that's what Kamala reminded me of. And she's being coached so heavy. The coaching, you know, because, I mean, instead of, you know, they've taken her from the cackle to the truly caring, wonderful woman. And it just turns my stomach. It's, you know.
But she loves you. But Francine, she cares about you because America is we're a caring people. We really care about people. Usually, she repeats everything at least once, sometimes three, you know.
But here's the thing that really upsets me about this, besides it's just nauseating, is that it's working.
Yeah.
People are listening to her and they're just going, wow. And then, you know, like, I don't know. That was real interesting about maybe the microwaving of Trump, because he really didn't impress me at all. I didn't watch the debate, but I heard clips afterward. And I thought, wow, what's wrong with him? You know, why isn't he taking advantage of this opportunity? There was a great opportunity, and then he refused to do a second debate.
That debate was not – that was certainly not his A game. And
no.
Kamala was quite well coached, though, because it was all about – getting Trump off his game, because Trump has such a big ego, and you have to have a big ego to run in the first place, all right? So I'm not trying to – I'm not criticizing Trump when I say this, but
– No, I know.
But his flaw is the fact that anybody would say that something that he did wasn't big, wasn't grand. I mean, the guy lives in a home that's practically kind of like the Palace of Versailles, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of ego wrapped up in there. And so when she talked about things like, you know, people leaving his rallies early and stuff, it's all about getting under his skin. And it worked that time, you know.
Yeah, he's not doing real well this time around, and I'm really interested in that whole microwave thing that was brought up. You know, I mean, I don't know, I don't really know much about that, but that sounds like something plausible. That
yeah, but how do you protect Trump? You put him in a tinfoil hat. That doesn't look good.
No, you can't. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the shield, right? You put the microwave shield around Donald Trump's head, right? It's a tinfoil.
Yeah, right.
There we go.
This is so intentional, so planned, and so well orchestrated that we're almost, you know, there's almost not anything any of us can do. I mean, I've given up trying to talk to people anymore. I used to talk to people all the time. Hmm. I've just stopped because nobody wants to hear it.
Well, the lack of critical,
you know,
lack of critical thought. You know how you talked about, you know, weak people.
Yeah.
It used to be like weak men bring hard times. Well, we got a lot of weak people everywhere, but there's a lot of cunning that is going on behind the scenes here for sure. And when you heard Rick Manning talking about the three different types of Republicans, in that there's a good portion of those Republicans that would be much happier dealing with Kamala. That would keep everything going, at least that illusion of things being okay, rather than someone that says, hey, things are really in trouble, we got to break things, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something, a lot those Republicans have bought their ticket, you know what I'm saying? They have they are going along, not just to get along, but because they want to be in when it all turns into the, you know, our big Marxist or communist or whatever they want to, you know, whatever flavor they want to call it. They don't want to be on the wrong side of that because that's going to be ugly.
Yeah, could be. Appreciate your call. 770-5633. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm fine. Who's this?
This is Ann.
Oh, it's Horse Lady. How you doing, Horse Lady?
Hey, I sold my horse.
You sold your horse? Why?
Well, I'm old, and I don't want to get hurt.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to make sure that you weren't having to sell it for food or something. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, Lord, no.
All right. And don't eat the horse. Don't eat the horse. I mean, don't let the horses hang out in Springfield, Ohio. We don't want the horse eating either, okay?
Oh, my Lord. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. I just listened to that clip of Camel Toes, mm-hmm. and I swear to heaven, that woman sounds half-loaded.
Could be a little bit of Ativan in the bloodstream. It's hard to say, but yeah, but she's always sort of sounded that way a bit, though.
Yeah, she sounds like she's had two or three glasses of wine, and she's about half gone.
She's not a particularly good. She's never been a particularly good extemporaneous speaker. Okay, and
she's
so I don't think she's stupid. I really don't think she's bad. She sounds stupid, but I better
agree
be quiet.
With you. She sounds like an idiot. I'm in favor of the guys that had the sign hanging over the freeway overpass that says Camel Toes is an idiot.
Yeah.
Nothing, enough said. Bill, yeah. Take care.
Hey, by the way, did you see the Trump? What is it? The Trump cutout that's over on Interstate 5 over by Exit 35. Yeah, have you seen that by chance?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's over there by the. By Hilton Landscape, I think is where that is. They have like the big cherry picker going up in the air. I saw that yesterday. I just noticed that yesterday.
Hooray.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 770-5633. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Minor Dave.
Hello, Dave.
I want to lighten things up. I've been hearing your commercial for the Coastal train ride.
Yes.
And I know your passion for trains. Are you going to take your own?
Your phone's cutting in and out. We actually, you know, we need to make cell phone service great up in the Iron Gate again because it's miserable every time I hear from anybody up in that neighborhood.
What I was saying is that train ride for the Coastal ride. Are you thinking about, because I know how you feel about trains, are you thinking about taking your honey on that?
I was thinking about that. It's a bit of a drive to head up there, so I don't know if I could devote a lot of time. Got to be around to take care of relatives, you know, here in town. So I don't know if we'll do that right away, but it sure sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had honey and I had the money, I'd go take it.
Okay, good going then, Dave. Appreciate it. Let me catch up on some of the news. I'm so far behind in the hour here, but we'll get more of your calls on here. 770-5633, okay? News is sponsored by Millett Construction. 53, some open phone time, 770-5633. Next hour, before we wrap up, we're going to have a couple of shots for Scotty McCreary tickets. Not right now, but next hour. And these are not just Scotty McCreary tickets. They're Scotty McCreary gold reserve seats tomorrow night at the Expo, at the Jackson County Expo Bi-Mart Amphitheater. And we're going to give you really nice parking, too. So you just kind of like pull up practically to the stage, you know, and you get out there. And it's going to be a couple of two pairs that we'll give away. And what we're going to do is something a little different. It's just going to be... You know, how big of a country fan are you? How big of a country music fan are you? So I'm going to have some classic country titles, and all I'm going to ask you to do is give me the names of the titles. That's what we're going to do. And they're not going to be Scotty McCreary songs. Could be something else. Could be a Dwight Yoakam song, for all I know. Now, since I said that, I'm not going to make it a Dwight Yoakam song, but I'll give you a couple of titles, and then I'll say fill in the blank. It'd be like a fill in the blank thing. We'll do that next hour, okay? All right. Lynn's here. Hello, Lynn. How are you?
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great. I wanted to bring up, kind of blow things up a little bit, because I've just been listening to the most inspiring interview. You know, the Republicans are really not our future. And Rick was talking about how, you know, they get into power and we get tax cuts. You know, they never address the core issues.
Exactly. You have the issues are not about what the people are looking for, but it's kind of like what the donor class is looking for. And that's how, frankly, we ended up getting a tax cut from Donald Trump when he wasn't really running on a tax cut.
Yeah, and I was like, whoop-de-doo. Okay, mm-hmm. Nice. But that's not really what I cared about that much. But anyway, there is a political realignment going on. It's powerful. A lot of people don't understand it or don't know it yet, but I've just been listening to an interview with Nicole Shanahan. Now, mm-hmm. You know that she was Bobby Kennedy's running mate. She's out stumping for Trump. And I'm listening to her story of how she changed. You know, she grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was just like her, you know, until I woke up. But only she's way smarter and way more successful. She's an entrepreneur. She was up at the top echelons. And she had some tragedy in her life that caused her to reassess everything she ever believed. And she's been on a journey. I haven't finished the interview, but she's saying, look, I didn't understand that I was being lied to by the Democratic Party. And I'm on a mission to help my Democrat friends understand that the Democrat Party is not what you think it is. And, you know, you've got Tulsi Gabbard. You've got Bobby Kennedy. You've got 58% of the Teamsters unions.
You got, and you have even Naomi Wolf, right?
Oh, Naomi Wolf.
Yeah.
I don't know. Has she come out for Trump?
I don't know if she came out for Trump, but obviously she's not for the Democrat. I can
she's
assure
not
you
for
that.
Harris. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's this woman, Sasha Stone, who was kind of up there in the Hollywood podcasting mm-hmm. world, which I know nothing about. But so there's these people that are. We're going to have differences with them, but they love America. They love freedom. They know something's really wrong, and they don't want to live on their knees. And we need to embrace these people. We need to not criticize them as not being conservative enough or not being pro-life enough. We need to welcome them, and let's get together and work to save this country. Because we all know how high the stakes are. You were talking about that with Rick as well. And even if Trump loses, this movement's going to grow. It may get very dark and very dangerous in this country. But I just want to say it's so inspiring to listen to these people who are humble enough to say, she's a multimillionaire, and she's humble enough to say, I was wrong, and I'm on a journey. And like I said, I haven't finished it, but I'm so impressed with this woman. I thought she was nice. Thought she was a nice woman. I was like, why did you pick her, Bobby? You need someone more conservative. But anyway, now I'm beginning to understand. So I just want to talk about that. She's being interviewed by Tucker Carlson. It's one of his free interviews. It's on YouTube. I just urge everybody to go listen to it. All of his, he's had J.D. Vance on. J.D. Vance, I forgot, he was on Wall Street. He was talking to Tucker about his plan to fix our debt problem. And it's the smartest thing I've heard in a long time. And Trump doesn't really understand the way Vance does. So how amazing would it be to have Vance in there helping advise Trump on how to get a handle on, you know, this freight train that's going off a cliff at full speed.
So. Well, I think that would be a wonderful thing to hear. And I'm glad to hear about Shanahan, too. And I don't listen to Tucker like I once did. I think for some reason I watched him on television more than I've ever watched his X feed for whatever reason. But
But
frankly, I don't have a lot of time to listen to a lot of other people anyway. It's just kind of the way that goes. But all you have to do is just now. I know everyone's talking about the stock market, but I'm looking at price of gold this morning is still reflecting the reality that the standard approach from the Republican Party and the Democratic Party in the United States, there is no plan.
Right.
To deal with the spend. They know.
They won't do it. They won't do anything.
They know that disaster is built into the cake right now, and the precious metals and other commodities are starting to are really reflecting this. It's a lack of trust that anyone's really going to be able to. I mean, this idea that they do a continuing resolution so that the government doesn't shut down. It's like, yeah, that is important. Obviously, you know, well, we don't want to risk the full faith and credit of the United States. Okay, full faith and credit of something, it's $36 trillion in debt. You know, there's just so much that we are asked to believe that just isn't so. You know, it's just.
And this is why we need to embrace this realignment. Mm-hmm. You know, Martin Armstrong, I think you've had him on.
Yeah.
His Socrates computer says, we're going to default. We'll start by defaulting against our enemies. But, you know, Katie bar the door when we start defaulting on our debt.
Well, we've already been defaulting on, you know, when it comes right down to it, even when they change the rules of Social Security, that is a default of sorts. That is indicating that promises that were made can't be kept to the extent that they are. There have already been kind of soft defaults that have been going on, and we're probably going to see more of that, unfortunately. I don't say that happily, but it's just reality.
Oh, well, me either, because I'm getting close to Social Security, and I'm on Medicare now. But, mm-hmm. you know, people need to understand, when Social Security was started, hardly anybody got any. It was set up to begin at the time most people died.
It was essentially, if you ended up living longer than most people would, and that didn't change over the years. Yeah, I would guess right now, if you were running it the same way, what Social Security would kick in when you were 81. Problem is, though, is that who's going to hire the 80-year-old, you know, right now? Right?
Well, and my benefit, the benefits of Social Security have dramatically increased over the decades. And you might even call it generational theft. And that's going to get people's backs up. But the current crop of retirees gets far more benefits from the government than any generation before it. They use up everything they paid into Social Security within about 3 years. And then they, you know, live for whatever, however many years after. So, you know, I want Social Security to continue. I paid into it all my life, but we need some perspective because my grandparents were the first generation that actually were able to retire and travel. My parents were the next generation. The early boomers have been able to do it, but I'm in the transitional period where many of us aren't going to be able to afford to do that.
Oh, no, and I'm part of that, too. I'm a late boomer, you know, 1960, 61, and, you know, It's not like the early boomers, I think, kind of had the fat of it, you know, overall, I would say, probably the fattest part.
And the late silent. Yeah.
Yeah. And the late silent and the early boomers. And after that, it's going to be a challenge. I figure I'm still going to be doing as long as we're having a morning show. I'll see you here in 2045.
As long as you can talk.
As long as I can talk. Great. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. take care, Lynn. All right.
Thanks.
All right. And on that subject of gold this morning at $2,615. And this was after the Fed doing a rate cut, and it's just been this steady. Now, there may be a pullback. There may be a pullback and a chance to buy it a little cheaper. But when we're looking at a time that it's obvious that neither party is going to be able to really get hold of the spending, and that is just the reality where we find ourselves, it's about protecting wealth at this point, not looking to see if you can get a return on it necessarily, just to see if you can get it back, you know? And, you know, who knows? But part of your portfolio, I think, would be wise to have in some precious metals in your possession. Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. These are the people to deal with. I implicitly trust them in dealing with them. They're one of my oldest sponsors, and they are local. I know they have all these big firms with the big celebrity spokespeople saying, you know, call the 800 line, and gosh, they'll, you know, we'll get you set up with a gold IRA. Great. Where the government has access to your gold or the safety deposit box. Great. Where, once again, the government can have access to your gold. We got to be smarter than that. Talk with Mark and Andrea. They can help you figure these kind of things out. And when you're looking to buy or sell, maybe at 2614, you're a seller. I don't know. I'm still a buyer at this point. Better to buy it a little too soon than too late, for sure. Jay Austin in Ashland in Grants Pass. FortuneReserve.com.
Jasper's Cafe, voted Medford's best burgers for 14 years running. Jasper's has been a local tradition for over 40 years. Come in and see for yourself why we've been recognized nationally for our amazing burgers featuring outrageous toppings and a delicious range of meats from local grass-fed beef to elk to bison and more. We're just 1 mile up North Pacific Highway from the mall, or check out our menu at jasperscafe.com. Jasper's, burgers with attitude.
We've heard it all.
That boulder was hidden in the grass.
My St. Bernard jumped on the hood.
Gonna have to get that emergency brake fixed.
Garage doors need to go up faster.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Castle Traders, where the customers came.
Look
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point Medford, KPXG Grants Pass. Joel, you listen to Coast to Coast AM a lot, right?
Yeah, because I wake up having to take a wee and then I turn the radio on to go to sleep.
Okay, so what was the amazing claim that was made by people involved in the cell industry? Go ahead.
Well, this gentleman has advanced the electronic degree. Anyway, he installed 17 cell phone towers across the United States.
Uh-huh.
And more than once, he got French fried by the devices. And he said that it's his opinion that if they want to, they could zap anybody by keying in on their location.
Okay, I would need some big evidence of that. However, you know, if he installed cell phone towers and you're right there on the antenna, yeah, of course, that could be that. When people climb on my broadcast towers right now, we have to turn the power down very, very low to it, so it doesn't surprise me. But the reduction in RF intensity of the field intensity drops dramatically. In fact, it's exponentially with distance away from the antenna. So now, I suppose if you're talking about frying the Trump people at that rally, is that what you're kind of referencing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A possibility.
Yeah, well, if there was something like that going on, the source, I think, would have to be dramatically closer than, like, a cell phone tower, okay?
Right.
That's all I would say. It would have to be much, much, much closer. But
well, then possibly they have portable devices. I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I know this is not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but if you were going to zap someone with directed microwave radiation of some sort and you're making people get hot, or for all we know, there could have been a biological attack there, too.
Yeah,
that's true. It's just really weird, but it's fascinating how that story hasn't been reported a whole lot. Right?
Right on.
Wonder why they would be that way. Now, a question for another time. Captain Bill joins me. And we're going to dig into a little bit of that fabulous water, that pristine water coming out of the dam removal project headed down the Klamath. And the fish, I'm sure, love it.
If you have an appliance,